Yeah, okay. And Gary will join in a minute or so. So we're good. Let's get
Eight is
started,
left, right?
everyone.
Eight is quorum, right?
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah, we're here. Okay.
Take it away.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome for those who are new, if there are any. This meeting is open to everyone, assuming that you'll have read and learned by heart the antitrust policy, which we have to display every single time, and make sure that you're aware of the code of conduct, which basically says you have to be a decent human being and behave. So with that being covered, I think we can get started. I am not aware of any announcements, so that section of the agenda is empty. Does anybody have any items they want to bring up that is not covered in the agenda or that they want to add to the agenda today? Okay, hearing none, I guess we can move on then. There were three quarterly reports submitted. Thank you all for doing the hard work of putting all the bits together. There are actually several questions that were brought up as part of the those reports. So I think it is worth taking a little bit of time going through those. The architecture working group basically is saying that they would like to have a technical writer. I don't know if that's something that Hyperledger can help with. I see Brian is on the call.
Yeah, that's a resource we've had available to us in the past and just they don't have it at this point, or at least it's not obviously available.
Yeah,
that is correct. This is Daniela. There is a technical writer resource. If you can send the request to the community architects email list, that'd be great.
Is it still Gordon?
Yes.
Oh, he's great. You'll love him, Mick.
Yeah, we've worked with him in the past quite a bit. It's just that at one point he was not available, and that's so the fact that he's now available is a change in status. So
yeah, he's a contractor, so he goes, he has other, so just send the request formally through the community architects list, please.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
All right, and before we move on, is there any questions for the architecture working group or about the report?
I guess I just had a generic sort of question. Like in my mind, an architecture working group would be doing a lot of work to help define things for interoperability. And I think on a previous call, Mick had said that's not really what they're doing. I mean, is there a need for that? So we have something higher level than two projects getting together and declaring something universal?
We could do that, but you're going to have to give some authority to the working groups, and the reason why we've not tried to tackle that. We can do a description of what might be interesting, but that work is essentially wasted effort unless there's some commitment to actually enforce it. And that commitment has never been there, which is why we've never gone down that path. Okay, so we can talk about it. We can explore opportunities for interoperability. We can collect the technologies together that might be useful. But the actual definition, unless we're changing the role of working groups, is not work that would be fruitful.
Okay, yeah, and we have that discussion queued up, I think, for later today. So, because we have similar things with a performance and scale working group is, you know, there's no teeth. We can go off and do all the investigation and studies and things like that we want, but if people aren't going to use the work, it's sort of.
Yeah, so that touches on the role of the working groups. There is a task force, and I've asked for a report, so it's later on the agenda. I suggest we just wait for that. Any other questions specific to the report of the architecture working group? Otherwise, we can just move on to the next one. So the next one was the identity working group. Yep, sorry.
Hey, Arno, just one more thing on this. And this is more related to the structure of the wiki. So if you pull up the working groups and go to the right-hand side, there's the TSC quarterly updates and the list of the quarterly updates on it. That actually seems to put the pages, so there's like a new TSC work group update. It seems to put the pages in the old namespace rather than in the new namespace. So we had to, if you go through the project update page and click on the new update there, it puts it in the correct namespace. But the ones that are linked on the working group pages themselves are not going to the right place.
All right, so there's some leftover of the revamping.
Yeah, it's just left, exactly. It's just a little bit of leftover stuff, so.
Okay.
How would you re-architect that?
Hush.
All right. Well, thanks for bringing it up, but let's take that offline. We'll look at it.
That was a decision that I made at the time to not move those, and I'm willing to revisit that at any point.
Well, I would just say remove the links then, because it.
Okay.
We couldn't figure out how to move the page when we created it, and so we just recreated it and moved it over. So there's an extra one out there right now.
I see. Okay. All right. Identity working group. Any questions? No? So I think we can move on then. No question is good. And then we have the HERO project report. They did highlight a few questions and issues. I think for the most part, they have actually been answered. There were two related, the first two, Rye responded to the questions directly. And the last one, there was a comment, I think Dan added at the end, which is the security audits. I have to say, I had not answered, but when I read it, I was like, but wait, we don't do that on a regular basis, right? We do that when there's a major release. So.
Yeah, but the thing is that it seems like it wasn't done before the major release or after the major release, but earlier, if I remember correctly. So that's the tricky question.
The date on the security audits on the wiki itself. So you can go into there's an aggregation. I don't remember the exact date. So I do remember queuing it up as part of the 1.0. You guys were at 1.0 alpha 3, I believe, that got audited. So unless there was some serious re-architecting between your Alpha 3 and Alpha 7 or whatever it was that was your final release candidate, then it has been audited.
It was Beta 6, I think. So yeah, I mean, it's been a while and I think there were lots of changes. So.
Okay, I mean, we're up. This is a discussion we can have, but we should do it offline and I'll jump on that email thread. Let's look at the dates and see. You know, what the churn was. Arno's right, the general policy is when major releases come out. But if there was like significant gap and significant re-architecting, maybe we should get you back on track with semantic versioning and talk about doing another, you know, follow-up audit. Starting with the basis of the first one, right? And just looking at the deltas.
But Alpha 1 something was like a long time ago and there were so many changes in beta versions. So it's not really very up to date now with the first major release. So it's like, I think that was a question that was, this was a question for a while now. So somehow I've got the impression that we were to integrate URSA and then make another security audit. So that's what I've seen.
I don't remember making that decision, but let's take this offline and we'll discuss it further. I know the threads there and I know it's been waiting for a while, but
okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
All right, Zipin, I see you have your hand up. Is that from before that I missed?
No, it's after you swiftly moved on from identity working group report. I have a question about this because I had sent a request to the community architects to have a repos in GitHub for identity working group as well as the CMSIG, which is of course not related to this, but basically we need a more rigorous process for controlling updates on the Identity Working Group paper, which was first open because it was Google Docs and there were some rogue edits and we locked it down, but we would like to allow controlled updates. So we thought GitHub being the tool of choice for everybody, we would do it there. And I had sent out a request to the community architects, haven't heard anything back, at least as far as I remember. But I would like a clarification on that.
So I think as you and I discussed, there is precedent for doing that, right? And the internal discussion that we are having is this a separate org? And I think it isn't. I can create. No, huh?
I mean, I would appreciate it if you involve us in these discussions because it is not a separate org, obviously. And yes, there is precedent for it, but even if there isn't, we'll still continue to ask for it. Anyway, go ahead.
Right. So I will do that, you know, after this meeting and follow up on the email thread. I will just create the repos and let the chips fall where they may, right?
We will discuss who is to be the initial set of committers and what the rules should be, please.
Sure.
All right. So let's keep on moving then. I'm not sure what the upcoming reports are. I haven't seen any notifications yet, so that's why that section is empty. And I think the good news is we are up to date with the reports that were due. Sorry?
It's Indy.
Yeah, Indy's next. Okay. So let's move on to discussion items. First, I wanted to give Mick an opportunity to give us an update on the working group task force. I understand there's been quite a bit of discussion already offline, and there are several issues and proposals that have been put forward, some discarded, others seem to have some support. So I'm not sure where we stand and whether there is anything that is ready for us to possibly approve or what. So Mick, what's...
I guess I'll say that the discussion has kind of tapered off and the proposals that we have for 3 through 8, at least for those of us who have been participating in the discussion, seem to be the ones that we're kind of sticking to. Rather than request a vote at this point, I just want to make sure that everybody is aware. We are basically proposing that we get rid of working groups as they exist today, and that we split them into two parts. One, which is essentially a SIG that's focused on technology. And so we take a technical area like architecture or privacy and confidentiality or identity, and focus less on the work products that go along with that and more on education and discussion and ideation in the SIGs. The second structure that we're requesting or that we're proposing to replace it with is task-specific task forces. That is, that we take the idea that we have right now that seems to have been very successful of the task force and actually formalize it a little bit more. And so that would look more like what the working groups have looked like, except that the scope would be limited to a particular set of work items. There would be a limited time scope for those, and extensions for time would not be allowed unless the TSC approves it. So the core is, just to come back to that, is that we remove existing working groups. And I'm saying it that way specifically so people will get in, read the proposals, and comment on them. So.
All right. So I remember there was a discussion about the names because you had suggested, and I think you just said again, SIG, which is already used something else. And Brian said, please, please, pretty please, don't do that. Don't overload the name we already have. Is that still true?
Is there any recommendation for an alternative?
Can you just keep reusing working groups?
TIG.
Why wouldn't we?
Information group.
It. TIG? Okay.
I propose another
suggestion.
GabFest.
GabFest would be perfectly fine with me. I really, if we, okay.
Why can't we just keep calling them?
I don't think you should call it that, please. I sincerely object to that. Vipin,
chill. Hold on. I'm just kidding.
Yes, please.
yeah, but this keeps coming up.
Wait, it has reality.
Mick.
Hey, let's hang on a sec. Stop for just a sec. Let's pop the stack. The name is not really what's important. The question is really, do we buy into the change in roles? We can figure out the name part of it later, right? Do you buy into the change in roles? That is, number one, that what we've been currently doing as working groups, which are sort of broad area things, focus more on information and discussion, not ideation. And that we split out all notions of work items into task-specific things. That's the core of the proposal. Don't get hung up on SIG or other things. That's totally irrelevant at this point. The question is, do you want the structure changed?
Yeah, you're right. My bad for highlighting the issue about the name.
Yeah, let's not jump into the rat holes before we at least know where we're standing.
What I suggest is just from process point of view, I would welcome, reaction on that very point that Mick just brought up. And then, if there is general agreement, then next week we can look at the different proposal one by one and approve them formally.
So I actually had a question, and unfortunately it revolves around the naming. How do you view your proposal compared to the existing SIGs that we have? Do they have a work product or are they?
Yeah, so the existing SIGs don't have any work products at all, and the existing SIGs are managed by the board, not by the TSC, principally. What I think in the discussion that we have is that these are technically focused, and the TSC still, that we report interesting conversations and interesting ideas to the TSC through those working groups.
SIGs, one caveat. I mean, SIGs do produce documents at times. And so I wouldn't go as far as saying they don't have work products.
They're not held accountable to the work products though.
That's correct. They're not chartered to do that specifically.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to complain if you put together, something that captures your ideas or notes or whatever. Nobody's going to complain about that. But right now we hold the working groups accountable for work products. And the core problem is that those work products are effectively meaningless at this point. The working groups don't have enough teeth or authority to do constructive work. So the role really is descriptive anyway. So let's just make them descriptive and leave it at that.
If I could repeat something that I know I mentioned, I think there was some other commentary about this. I think the idea of rebooting the working groups to those that people really can make a case for is important. And making a case for involves not just saying, hey, I think it's a good idea to have an architecture working group. I think making the case for is that there's some threshold number of maintainers on projects who commit to being a part of it and saying, hey, we're maintainers on Fabric, we're maintainers on Sawtooth, and we're maintainers on Aroha. We care about sharing ideas with each other and about architecture and converging where opportunistically Or when somebody has a new idea for how to do, you know, BFT algorithms on one, we'd love to learn from the others how to do BFT on the others. But that commitment from maintainers is essential, because that's where the teeth can come from without having to make it a, you know, thou shalt or thou must implement what somebody else has come up with. You have to make it intrinsic. You have to make it, you know, something that comes from the developers themselves. And
right,
so
but they're,
we chartering them and saying you can have a working group if the maintainers are plugged in. And if they lose interest, if they're not interested in participating, then you shut it down is perhaps the best acid bath for determining whether you keep a working group or not.
Right. But Brian, the difference between I'm interested in talking about architecture and I'm going to do something that affects what I'm doing across projects are very, very different things. We've been in the architecture working group and the PNC, we've been changing the way that our meetings are operating and just inviting different projects to come in and do overviews for the information that they have. That informational approach has been very successful. But that's very different. That is, we can get engagement around interesting topics that where we're sharing information back and forth. That's very different than turning around and saying, okay, as Mark referenced earlier, now we're going to come back and we're going to drive an interoperability standard. There's a huge gap between those two. And I completely agree that focusing the what is currently the working groups on informational exchanges is a fantastic idea. And that's basically what we're proposing. But splitting out any of the active work items into something that the TSC, number one, creates in a very scoped, specific way. Number two, has much more direct oversight on. And number three, gives authority to make modifications. So all we're saying is take those two roles that you described, split them out into two different processes.
Yeah. Do you already have an idea of what kind of groups we would create? Your kind?
The topic specific, high level, discussion oriented, we've got several that are good right now. You know, architecture, identity, performance, the education, the community, the CI work, all of that. What we're trying to do with the proposals is describe how it's actually working today.
Yeah.
Right. I think that's really the point is the task forces that have been scoped have been successful at coming back with change-oriented work items. The working groups have not been successful at that, but they are being successful when we have discussions about deep topics. So let's just formalize that relationship and leave it at that.
I also tend to, so a couple of things, you know, there was mention about, you know, that Brian mentioned, you know, maintainers, for instance. I think that, again, the task force should be spun up at the request of, or at least supported by, multiple projects, by the maintainers of multiple projects, not just one, but multiples. And two, that in fact, that they do have teeth, that the intention is to come out with a specific actionable proposal that may affect the projects in some way, which I think would sort of incent participation, right? And I think out of that, and then I think we're seeing that with like the CICD and so forth, is that you're actually seeing more engagement because there's investment, right, that's going into it. There's potential for affecting you, so therefore you get involved to make sure it's going to go in the right direction. So I think that's kind of what we're saying here. And
yep.
Again, I don't care what we call them. We call them technical SIGs or T-SIGs, or it doesn't matter. But I think that what we have in the task force is working pretty effectively.
All right. Anybody was any concerns?
The task forces that have been created so far have been around governance, most of them. And to say that is a model that should apply to specific technical output, except for the CICD stuff, most of the task forces that we have had so far are focused on governance, like this particular one, for example, the Working Group Task Force.
But Vipin, I would, the observation, the observation is that we have not done enough. There is a bigger problem that is preventing that, and that is that we're not getting, that we don't have an idea what convergence is. We don't have an idea of driving specific cross-project functionality at this point. And I think that's on the TSC to come back with, or to come up with, you know, what that vision is and what those work items would be. I think some of the interoperability work, for example, might be an interesting place to start on that, but we'll have to, but we have to come back at a higher level to drive that. I mean, that's all bound up in some of these notions of convergence. As it is, consistency in tools, consistency in communication, consistency and governance are the areas where the projects do overlap and touch, which is why the task forces have been assigned to do that.
Yeah, this is Gary. I mean, I agree with your assessment there, Mick. I think, but on the other side, right, I don't think that we can, you know, I don't think that we can have our cake and eat it too, right? I mean, sorry, I missed a few things in here. I joined a little late. Like, I don't understand why. I mean, if anybody who's a member of Hyperledger wants to join and storm something up and it's a naming thing or whatever, they should be allowed to join up, create a community, and we should provide a place that they can actually have a wiki and do stuff, right? That's part of being a member of Hyperledger, and people can do what they want, whether or not they have a work product or not. I don't think that we can have a model like we keep talking about interop integration or whatever, but that's not what, but let's face the facts. The goal of this whole place has changed since then. Yes, teams are trying to do it, and teams are trying to do economies of scale and leverage common components and whatever, but there is no modus operandi here within Hyperledger that we're going to have a unified, uniform code base. That went out the window the second we started emitting multiple code bases that have no chance of ever becoming unified, interoperating, or even running on the same language. So I think, I'm not sure why, I'm just not really sure what we're really trying to Gary, solve and why the TSC has to be involved in those.
Yeah, the point is not that we're going to have that discussion, right? The point is that the task forces that we have right now are not focused on inter-project issues precisely because there haven't been any inter-process issues because we're allowing the projects to be independent. That's the only point.
Right.
Yeah. So
Gary, I agree with you that I think anybody is welcome to create groups that they feel like, you know, would be helpful. And if they have any, if there's enough interest, we should be allowed to proceed. I think the interest in having some formal names for those things is just, you know, it allows us to have them listed on the website and to make them more easy to find by people who might be interested. There's an advertisement or communication aspect to this that I think is worth, you know, considering. But fundamentally, I agree with you. I don't think anybody is trying to prevent those things or saying, unless you're formally approved in that way, you can't discuss anything.
I wanted to loop back to a point that Mick made earlier, that you know, with the performance and scale working group, we had a lot of participation for the first deliverable, which was the white paper. But going forward, trying to get people interested in the second white paper and all has been pretty hard. So the main, you know, the days we have the most people attending the calls are when we have someone from like Fast Fabric come talk to us about their work or something like that. But for the most part, the performance and scale group is now Vipin and I on most calls, and, you know, one or two other people will join. But so, you know, not sure what we can do with that to reboot it as something else. I was thinking of making it a SIG where we just get together every other week or something and talk about different performance issues versus trying to deliver another white paper. So I'm all for what Mick's proposing.
All right, so I think we can leave it at this for today. Thank you, Mick, for, you know, explaining exactly where we stand. As I said earlier, since I don't hear strong pushback on the general idea, I think we should try to make this formal next week by looking at the proposals and approving those.
Okay. And I will pull the SIG references out and replace it from the moment with T-SIG. Just, I don't want to get hung up on the naming issues. So I'll make that change. Yeah. I think Chris had a good idea for that.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Let's go back to the agenda and move forward. Debriefing of the Maintainer Summit. Dan, you know, I have to thank Dan for basically finding a host, Accenture for hosting the meeting, and Dan for running most of the meeting. You know, he sent out earlier because he couldn't attend this call today, short summary of what happened. I think in general, just to quickly paraphrase, you know, the meeting went well and was appreciated by all. There was a lot of good discussions and work happening there. And at the end, when we kind of asked around, would you rather, you know, would you like to have more of those? The answer was overwhelmingly yes. The only question that's not so clear is how often we should have those meetings. And so we'll have to see. I know that some of you couldn't attend have asked for, you know, reports, and there is an invitation, several people, there was different, like, you know, part of it was run as an in-conference format, and there were different groups that capture some of the output into various ways, and it would be helpful to have, to add to the Maintainer Summit page, at least a pointer to those reports, if they were on chat or elsewhere, so that there would be one place where people can go to and find all of those. I think that's all I can say about this. Is there any questions? Or anybody wants to add anything to what I said? Okay, hearing none, I don't see anybody raising their hand. So I think we can move forward then. One of the topics we actually discussed during the meeting was kind of asking around, hey, what do you think should be part of the normal or common repository structure? Some of the files that, you know, everybody would expect to find. And I think it's fair to say that in general, when you look at how the projects get organized, obviously we have a lot of projects that came into Hyperledger with their own history and they have their own ways of doing things. And then we kind of added to this, we patched and, you know, made changes, but none of this was very well coordinated. And now, you know, some of this was grandfathered and it's just like, well, unless you have a good reason, you don't want to change, that's fine. But at the same time, I think it would be helpful to have more homogeneity among the different projects. And maybe more importantly, there are new projects that start from scratch, or pretty much from scratch, like URSA, and you like, well, they don't even have an example of what to start from. And I think it would be helpful for us to define some standard that maybe is not forced onto everybody necessarily, but at least provide some basic guidelines as to what you should do. So I don't necessarily want to get into the discussion, but I was interested to hear if anybody has, I want to take the details of what the common repository structure should be offline. So I created a task, a page and started listing files. And I encourage everybody to go at it and add to it and comment. But I just wanted to hear if anybody has any comments on the general idea.
I think in general, the more common things are across the projects, the easier it is for people to work on multiple projects, especially new people coming in. You know, you don't have to go learn a completely different system to go do something.
Right. And then there are questions as, you know, there's the list of files you expect. And then I think it was Chris who said, well, maybe we should also specify which format the file should be in, you know, whether you use Markdown or not. I don't know how far we want to go. There's also questions as to, you know, some of the files seem to be critical and are worth discussing. which is why I have a separate issue for the maintainers file. I think we all agree there's got to be a maintainers file somewhere in your repo and pretty easy to find, but there's the question about what do we find in this? And especially, you know, the request has been made by the staff to have an easy way to find contact information for all the maintainers of the different projects. Today, if you look at, and we did some of this during the maintainer summit, we kind of said, hey, what do you have in yours? And it was pretty clear that we already had variations that were somewhat arbitrary in terms of, you know, we all have this notion of, you know, there are the current maintainers and there's some, you know, retired maintainers, or, you know, some people have different names for this. And this is kind of stuff is like, well, maybe we should just settle on one name and all use the same. And then there's the question, as I said, about the contact. Some use GitHub IDs, some use email addresses or Linux Foundation IDs. And so again, it would be better to settle on what that ought to be so that everybody gets the same info. And, you know, some of this relates to being for the staff to be able to easily reach out to the maintainers. The other has to do with even like, you know, when we talk about the voting for the every year for the TSC election, the point was made is very hard to actually find a valid email address for everybody. And that's even true for maintainers, apparently, because not everybody used their, you know, email address. So any comments there? Otherwise, again, I mean, my point is really to highlight the fact that I've created those files and those pages, and I want to have discussion offline on the details so that we settle on something that we eventually can say, okay, we think we have it, we approve that, and we make it, you know, the standard for Hyperledger.
So I think that another thing that I was trying to say in my comment was that there are actually some files that I think are static across all the projects. So for instance, the security reporting policy, that is a Hyperledger thing that we came up with at the level of the TSC, and every project follows it. And so the text and the content of that, I think, Rai, you've been the one that's putting it in there, need to all be the same. We should say that explicitly. I think the same should apply for instance, the code of conduct, right? We created a code of conduct early on for Hyperledger, and everybody should be adhering to the same code of conduct. And so the contents of that file or the link to the wiki or whatever should be the same in all the projects. We shouldn't have differentiation at a project level. I do agree that the format of the maintainers is going to be, I think, an important piece. And I do think also that it should, again, maintainers of a project are the people that everybody looks to. And so making them as easily accessible and findable in chat and wherever, I think, is going to be important piece of that. So I would favor, you know, LFID and you know, Rocket Chat and GitHub plus email, I guess, is what I'd suggest for that.
All right. Anybody else?
Well, you also have stuff like standard GitHub stuff too, right? Like if we're trying to help people make it easier to get their pull requests reviewed and stuff like that, right? Moving to using, you know, code owners. I guess by default, admins get notified, right, for changes. But if you move to like, you know, a code owner's file, right, which I didn't actually ever look fully at the content, but I believe it has at least, you know, GitHub ID or whatever that's in there. Yeah, I mean, so at least for the maintainers, you're right on that side. I mean, yeah. On the other side, right, on the LFID thing, right, anybody can come in and create an LFID, and, like, they all create nonsensical names, and then half of them don't use real emails. So there's, I mean, maybe LFID should actually validate real emails.
Yeah, and Rai has something to say. I know that you don't even have to register with a new with your email address.
That's correct. You do have to validate your email to get an LFID, but it can be a nonsense email, and there are other issues there as well. So,
I suppose there's GDPR issues. Yes.
There are a lot of issues. Yes.
GDPR sucks.
No, it doesn't.
Well,
not if you put it up front.
Yeah, if you put up front that you're collecting this information, that should do it.
So yeah, about code owners. So one of the things about code owners we ran into with Beisu is our workflow, we would put people we want to review specifically on. And if we turn that on, every review gets every code owner, and it kind of reviews some of the workflows that have grown up in our community. So, you know, some of these GitHub features we turn on might not work well with existing projects.
Yeah, so I did, that is because I used a rather blunt version of code owners, right? And you can make that as fine-grained as you want down to a specific file. I don't really have any religious attachment to using code owners. I was trying to use it in a different way than everyone else was using it. So we can reevaluate that and do it however the projects want to use it.
Even the fine grain presented problems, because it's still going to tag everyone in there for each PR affecting it. And we only want reviewers to get tagged if their requests to be brought in.
Yep. I personally
am. Hello? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So unlike Rye, I do have religious beliefs around this. I really like the Mozilla model of delegating subtrees of projects. So using the code owners file down to a single file or down to folders actually allows you to spread out the load of doing the reviews of incoming pull requests. So anyway, I would encourage people to look at how Firefox is managed. And if you want me to write something up, I can. It's actually worked very well for many years, and they have a large maintainer base.
But I guess the question is, how far should Hyperledger go into pushing down projects workflow practices? Is that something that Hyperledger should be doing to their projects?
Well, I mean, yes and no. The TSC should. Like, yes. That's a practice.
Well, I'm not even sure if the TSC should. The product should have some autonomy in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, the advantage of code owners, right, just as an example, I mean, the nice thing about it for other people is, so your process, you want to have people request a reviewer. Okay, but I might not know who to request, and I might create a PR, and I might sit out there for a while. So, you know, I mean, the notion could come down to, right, I mean, maybe we just wait until that's an issue for people, and, you know, if people, I think it is worthwhile providing, I guess I would say this, rather than, like, the maintainer's file, separate thing, right, because it doesn't affect anything, but maybe, it's kind of like anything, right? When people start using new tools or tools that are new to them or a new feature comes out, you know, I think there are some things that the TSC or whoever wants to do, maybe the TSC as technical leaders, could at least tell people, hey, here's what you can actually do. You know, maybe you should consider using a code owner's file, right? I'm not saying you mandate it, but there could be things that we could provide out there for people to do. I mean, I'll give you an example, right? My wife works for a company. They roll out new tools to them all the time. No one ever tells them anything about what the hell the new tool actually does or its new capabilities. So I do think at least providing some guidance on options that people might have might be useful. And maybe we don't mandate something like code owners for exactly the reason that somebody said if they have a different process they want to use for.
Agreed. Pull request. Is good, but I think the mandate would be bad. So recommendations.
In the spirit of the previous discussion, I would propose that we have a common repo structure task force come back with a specific recommendation and move on. We're not going to solve
it. And then we can debate that for three calls rather than on this call.
Yes, that's right, fine. Exactly.
No, no, but absolutely, Chris, this is in the spirit of what I meant. I want to highlight this. I don't necessarily want to get into the details, although I think the question of, you know, whether this is mandatory or not is maybe a more general one. I mean, historically, we have not been very good at enforcing anything. So I don't expect us to change that. And, you know,
I would hope we could.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we should enforce governance. We should enforce governance based on the fact of whatever we're telling people that should be doing. And, you know, if there's additional things that we think we should recommend to people to make sure that there's better ways to adhere to that governance, right? Because if you read the rules, right, Hyperledger says, right, if the code is contributed, blah, 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 company believes that if they go use this code, they're indemnified, blah, 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 to use it per se. But we've already found violations of that. So if there's additional things that we should recommend that people should do to do that, I think, you know, the TSC can be, you know, one place that can do that. But for other things, yeah, I agree.
But I do think, though, that, you know, so part of, you know, part of being Hyperledger is being part of the community. And I think having a fragmented community doesn't really serve anybody's interests. And, you know, I think what we discussed at the Maintainer Summit was basically that getting to some agreement as to the things that you would expect to find in a Hyperledger repository would help somebody new to the project find the people that they would or should interact with and find the information about how do I contribute, you know, is it important, you know, all those kinds of things. Getting those to be as consistent as possible across the projects is a good thing, right? And that we should be striving towards that. Now, whether we mandate some things or not, I don't know, but I think there are some things specifically like the security policy that I think we should be mandating. And then something like the maintainer structure, I think we could be making a strong recommendation, maybe not mandating, but, and then, you know, do we have a code owners? I don't know. Maybe that's something that a project gets to choose, you know, to use, as Gary was saying, you know, here's a tool. If you want to use it, it can be very effective. If not, okay. But you better have something else that helps people find who should be reviewing my code, my pull request.
All right, great segue. We want to move on. So again, you know, Chris said, well, maybe we should have a task force. I don't know if we need to formalize it. For me, it's like, well, there's a wiki page already, a couple of them related to the repo structure and the content of the maintainers file. I think I encourage people to keep beating at it, and then we'll see what comes out of it.
Well, I could argue that you want to have a task force with a specific deliverable and a timeline so that it doesn't go on forever and ever, right?
I agree that if, you know, my intent was like, okay, let's get started like this, and if it doesn't work, we can make it more formal.
Okay.
So I'm reserving the right to do that. I just don't
okay,
want to
you're stop. The chair.
Let's see how that works. Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm too optimistic. We'll see. But so you were talking about the security stuff. So why don't you take that and explain what this is about and what you think we should do about it?
Well, so there is a security reporting policy that they've pulled together and articulated. It's in the wiki page. Recently, I don't know, maybe within the past couple of months, a common practice was implemented in GitHub of having a security, what is it called? A security reporting file? I can never remember the name of it.
Yeah, security reporting policy.
Right. And so you can, in your GitHub repo, you can specify a security reporting policy. And so you do that in the settings, and it comes back as a security.md file, basically. And I think, Rai, you've been going through, certainly on some of the projects, and adding a link to the wiki. Is that correct?
I took some text that Dave wrote, and I kind of I blatted it out. And it's been mostly merged. There are some versions, or there are some places where it hasn't been merged. But yeah, that's broadly spread.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the language was just a quick, the language was just a quick first pass with the intention of further review.
Yeah, well, we can, I mean, I think I found it was fine. I do think, though, that, you know, again, I think we ought to codify it and make it sort of, here, you know, the TSC has made a ruling that says thou shalt have one of these in every repository, right? To make it easy for people to figure out how do I report a security vulnerability.
If I could second it, I would.
We had a situation on the Fabric project recently where somebody blurted out in the email list, oh, there's this huge security hole in Fabric, when, you know, it's really just a documentation issue. But again, not cool. And I think we want to encourage consistency across the projects to make sure that that doesn't happen.
Okay, so that sounds like a good idea. And so I encourage everybody to apply this, right, or to implement it rather without waiting. But otherwise, I guess that would be part of the common repo structure that would be highlighted, right?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Let's move on. We have one more agenda item that I want to try to touch on. Tracy is on. We had discussed different ways, you know, to what there was, you know, discussion about how can we have a better handle of all the decisions that are being made. We often had in the past issues popping back up again and again, and everybody says, wait, I think we made a decision on that already, but it's not always so easy to find those. And so it was pointed out that, well, there are tools now that could help us make that better. And I think Tracy took the action item to show us a little bit what it could look like and investigate. There were essentially two options. One is lighter than the other. But Tracy, why don't you take it from there and tell us where you think we stand on that?
Yeah, so Confluence provides two different mechanisms, as Arnaud mentioned. One is what they call DACI decisions, and the other one is just decisions. As you can see on the screen, the different fields that are provided are kind of listed here, right? The DACI decisions definitely has a lot more as far as what it is. I think the commentary is really that both of these are a bit overkill for what we actually need. There is a mechanism using page properties that we could use to specify what specifically the fields are that we are interested in capturing for each of the decisions, whereby we could create a template that creates those page properties by default and labels a page so that we can actually, you know, view the status of what each of the decisions are that we're trying to make. I feel like we're leaning towards that as the option and not using the built-in Confluence templates, if you will. So it's still open. I don't think we've necessarily decided that that's the direction we want to go. But if it is, like, I'm happy to put together those templates based on, you know, what it is that we want to capture and put that out there in the TSC space.
Yeah, so I'm biased on that one. I have expressed that before, so you know, but, you know, I am for the lighter version. So.
Yep.
I mean, is it really just what we're looking for is the title, the status, and the outcome, if you will? Is that really the three fields that, you know, provide the most value for us?
I would think yes.
I mean,
I think having the driver or whatever you want to call it listed is also useful, because if there's any question, you can go back potentially.
Yeah, and I've been taught a long time ago, if it's, you know, assigned to a whole group, that means it's not assigned to anybody.
Yeah, that's true.
So do we want to have like the recording of a vote or something like that, or is it too high level for that?
Yeah, I think that would come in where you would change the status to decided, and then the fill in the outcome of what specifically was decided.
Yeah. Right, but would we also have the vote, like, you know, it was, you know, unanimously passed or passed by one vote?
Oh, Gary, we could definitely add that to the page itself. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want it as a page property in and of itself, or if just a comment on the page itself is good enough.
Yeah, I want to make sure people understand the basics of the this mechanism is, you know, there are different pages that correspond to different issues. And what we're looking at is a way to get a high level view of all the different pages slash issues and a few attributes that are highlighted that actually are in the page itself. So there can be more information in the page itself, obviously.
Tracy?
Yes.
How does this affect like the TSC meeting minutes? Is there a little macro or something that I can embed in the minutes that link to the decision pages when votes are taken in the meeting? Or should we just normally link the page or whatever? I'm just wondering how much of this is automated.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would probably just link to the page, if you will, right? Where the page would capture the decision, right? As I think it was Mark mentioned, right? Whether it was unanimous or, you know, we had any people who were opposed, that sort of thing.
Right. So we would record the roll call vote in the minutes with a link to the page with the item and the discussion in the comments. And then once its status has been decided, we'll add a backlink from the issue page to the TSC minutes. Question mark? Is that reasonable?
I would probably say that in the minutes, you probably just have a link to the page. You know, and then the page itself is where everything is captured.
Oh, so do the roll call in the page itself?
Yeah.
I don't know. What does everybody else think? I mean, that's fine. I don't care. I'm just taking, asking questions because I'm the one who has to do it.
No, I would just, I mean, you're going to link it, but the link itself isn't going to tell you anything. I would, in the recording of the minutes, say that it was resolved.
Definitely, but I think the...
Recorded in the page, but certainly in the minutes, you want to, you know, was it just discussed or was it resolved?
Yeah, agree, Chris, agree.
Right. Right. I mean, it would be really nice if there was like a little macro kind of thing that had a roll call. And I could tick them off and I would just embed it in both the minutes and the top of the issue page, right? And then it would just be in one place. But I'll hack around on Confluence. I'm getting pretty good at doing little things like that.
There is an include macro where you could include just a section of the page, Dave.
Okay.
So we could definitely look at that.
All right. We are out of time, guys.
I'll ping you offline.
So I make a motion we accept this proposal. I have one less thing to vote on next time.
No, I think we can defer the vote. I mean, I think there is, you know, I sense general agreement to go with a simpler version. Tracy, you volunteered to put a template together. If you could do that for next week, we can have a formal vote then.
Yeah, sounds good.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Why don't we just vote that Tracy does whatever she wants? I mean, I always look at it like he or she who does should do what they want.
All right, we're out of time. Thank you all for joining. Talk to you next week.
Thanks. Goodbye. A lot.